Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone smelling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, it is.
Bit of Andy Williams.
Lovely.
Hey? Andy Williams!
Yeah.
It's a dream, the impossible dream, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. But you're not dreaming because we are at number one, ladies and gentlemen, of the 12 Rambles of Christmas. In our countdown of the 12 Rambles of Christmas, of course, it's a daily countdown of what we see as the 12 defining topics of football since we began the Football Ramble back in 2007.
There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when we unveil our number one in a second.
It's the zenith for the entire operation, yeah, guys.
It certainly is, Peter. It certainly
what's
is.
Give us 12 to 2.
I can.
Right now, so we can build up to number one for people right. who don't really remember because they've been drinking too much.
It's that
time of year as well.
Absolutely. Naughty people.
Good for you. Do what you like.
Yes. Yeah. Well, number 12 was the first Africa World Cup in 2010, of course.
Woo!
Number 11 was England failing to qualify for Euro 2008. We pick things up at number 10 with Pompey winning the FA Cup. How did that slip through?
Fucking yeah!
You're not getting a yeah for that, Luke Miller. Yeah.
Number 9 was Manchester City winning their first ever Premier League title.
Aguero! Can you do it more like a Alan Fluff Freeman type thing? Coming in at number 7, that?
Yeah.
Coming in at number 7. Number 8 was Germany 7, Brazil 1.
Defending.
Slam dunking in at number 7 was Leicester winning the Premier League. Roasting the shit out of everything at number 6 was the cult of Jose Mourinho. Pillaging their way into number 5 was Spain's era of dominance. Peter.
It's the same button every pillaging. Time, mate.
Is it?
Oh, speaking of pillaging, number 4 was the demise of Sepp Blatter and FIFA. At number 3, the classy operators, Pep's Barcelona. And at number 2, the spell was broken. It was the end of the Ferguson era.
You still may get a slap even though you're a woman.
It was relevant. It was relevant.
Oh, my God. Pete, are you going to sort out the PRS, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same 2 seconds of that song.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you even do that.
Yeah. Oh, but at number 1...
Could it be anything else?
Could it be anything else? People think, well, surely it's...
It's a team game, so could it be anything else?
It's Messi versus Ronaldo.
Oh. Lionel Messi versus Cristiano Ronaldo.
I mean, the two...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Liquid football.
Oh, yeah. The
goals.
Yeah. Like this is a bet over the whole thing.
Yeah.
Assists. Actually, do you want
to... Trophies. Trophies.
Do you want to know the two songs that were at number 1 when Messi made his debut?
Yeah, go on. There's 2 songs, were there?
Actually, sorry, and when Ronaldo made his Premier Liga debut as well.
Is it Victoria Beckham?
No, it's not.
A bit of a callback for you there.
Dios que estoy loco, Miguel Angel Munoz.
Oh, yeah.
That was in that was Messi's debut on October the 16th, 2004.
So that was number 1 in England, was it?
No, in Spain.
Okay.
And in Portugal, Elvis versus GXL. Let's go on the station. For Ronaldo. So there we go.
Wow. We're genuine when he can't play it because of PRS.
Elvis is very aggressive.
Yeah. From the grave.
The Elvis estate.
If he's dead.
Yeah.
So we are. I'm going to put this out there straight away to kick us off. And I know you've got an intro written, Mark.
No, please.
As ever, I don't care. I simply don't care.
Yeah.
We are fortunate enough to be broadcasting this show in the era that the two greatest football players of all time applying their trade. What a privilege.
What a privilege indeed. The two most talked about players, hands down, since we've started recording.
You've bottled it there. Two best players. Say it.
I agree.
The two best players.
This is an argument to be had.
Yeah.
That they are the two greatest players of all time.
I think
because, you know, people talk about Pelé and Maradona and that stuff. Football's never been as competitive as it is now. And so many players of this level, or that reach anything close to this level, fade after time. Neither of those guys have done that.
Agree.
Yeah, that's very true, Jim. I was going to say... The two best players, of course, and the two most celebrated players of all time.
Absolutely. Because they've also come along at a time of such great scrutiny over the sport as well, which naysayers may well say has contributed to why they're considered that. But I think the stats bear it out. I think Jim's point about it being competitive, and we talked about that before. With African teams and Asian teams becoming stronger, I think it's really difficult to argue against it personally.
Yeah, it's a great era for us to have those players as well, because, you know, so much of it has been captured. You know, we sort of decry the idea of the YouTube player, someone who looks brilliant, and they're basically Anne of Cleves when they get to sort of, you know, actually playing. But with Ronaldo and Messi, it doesn't take long to just look through those highlight reels and go, I almost can't believe. You almost take it for granted how brilliant they are. There are videos of like Messi's top 10 goals where he beats the whole team. Most players won't do that once in their career.
The thing is with Messi's top 10 goals, you could have loads and loads of different top 10s.
Absolutely.
This Same with
Ronaldo.
That many.
Yeah.
It was Messi versus Ronaldo, though. There was... we do that, don't we? With anything, when there's two best people, groups, things going on, you immediately compare.
Definitely.
You have to compare. But also, such different characters, and that added to the narrative enormously.
And I think that's why, I mean, because really, we could. This is what we've decided is our number one. We could have said Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes.
But the very fact that the whole media thing has been pointed towards them being in adversarial contact with each other. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, Cristiano Ronaldo has really...
He's loved that.
...more bought into it than, say, Messi has. Yeah. It is very much a thing, and I think that justifies it. I mean, there's even a website, MessiVersusRonaldo.net, which is basically tallies up all the stuff they're doing.
Has sponsorship on it, that website.
Yeah, I know,
shows
right?
What a big deal it is.
I know, right?
There's no need to compare them like that.
No.
I mean, yeah, but we just naturally do.
Well, I mean, the fact that one plays for Barcelona and one plays for Madrid is the jewel in the crown, and the sort of ultimate Galactico, whereas, like, you know, Messi's come through the youth ranks. They each epitomise the values of their clubs, which are very, very different. And what's fascinating about both players is they are so... Both players can do everything. Mm-hmm. Both players have complete mastery of a football, but they are such different players at the same time.
I think in similar positions as well.
Mm. Okay, I think Marcus is absolutely right. I think it's the fact they're such different characters as well.
Messi's seen as a sort of the shy, quiet boy next door, all about his team type of player. Ronaldo embodies the individual, as we see so much more often in modern football. He loves the limelight. And if he wasn't a footballer, he'd be in the public eye somehow. He'd be a model or an actor or I don't know what.
In the entertainment industry, I would say.
Or a full-time statue. Just something to be gazed upon.
What, like one of them ones in the central of cities just stood there busking? Oh, you know what I mean?
If he wanted to do that, he'd be the best at it.
Yeah, indeed. The amount of records these two share is incredible. We'll come on to them. Come on to that in a bit. Ronaldo, 2 years older than Messi, he came through the scene in the early noughties at Sporting. Ferguson saw him and thought, I'll have me some of that. Signed him for Manchester United. And he became the most expensive teenager in English football history. Given the number 7 shirt, it was box office straight away.
He was immediately high profile, absolutely. Exactly. But he hit the ground running because the stepovers, like the absolute flurry of Ronaldo, that's what's so mesmerising about him when he takes on a player. He just bamboozles them, absolutely hypnotises them with those feet.
But it was those stepovers that I think reminded people of a certain vintage of Ryan Giggs. And they were sort of it was very Giggsian the way he
got compared with George Best a lot because George Best scored more goals probably than Ryan Giggs did.
Right.
But with the number 7 on his back, Rio Ferdinand once said that they used to say to Cristiano Ronaldo, well, you know, Beckham is the true number 7 at this club because it used to do Ronaldo's head in. He hated it and it would spur him on. And that's the thing with Ronaldo. He was always aching to be the best.
I think you could make it... I would personally... I know it's not really about this, but just for context, I would personally say I think Messi is better, but you could definitely make a good argument that Ronaldo's more improved.
Because
Messi, there's a feat. I don't want to denigrate how hard Messi's worked in this game and how much he's improved as well. But I think the scale of improvement is far greater with Ronaldo, who had very obvious flaws in his game. I know he was young, but very obvious flaws in his game when he came into the limelight.
Well, he was like a tricky winger.
And he's moved around as well.
He has. You're right. He's done it in more places. Mm-hmm. He was tricky. He was quite lightweight. Mm. He was a little bit sort of theatrical.
Petulant as well.
A bit of petulant. Whereas Messi's not ever really been like that. But Ronaldo's improvement. Look at his
heading ability.
He's a completely different type of individual than not just a player now.
Yeah.
His physique, for example, would be another area that he's improved greatly in.
I think there's an argument as well that we have two of the greatest players ever playing alongside each other in the same era at similar ages, which is a rare thing.
And,
you know,
it's more of a baton passing than
absolutely,
isn't it?
Yeah. Very much so. I mean, are they better for each other? I think it's inarguable that they are.
I agree. I think that's right.
Yeah, it's an interesting point there.
I think that might be what spurred each other on to do the things they've done.
But again, because of the clubs are in direct competition as well, it's a matter of necessity rather than a matter of sort of personal pride as well.
The styles are definitely aligned there. The different type of individual, the different type of physique, the adversarial clubs they play for, almost like obviously different nationalities as well, which is really important. So yes, it's fascinating.
And with Ronaldo, like we say, burst onto the scene, became the most expensive teenager in English football history. It became the second player, you know, in England to win the best young player and the best player of the season, sadly, since Andy Gray. He did it many years ago. He swept the boards with Manchester United with club and individual awards. Now, Messi's story, on the other hand, he came through Barcelona's youth system. He was signed as a young boy from Newell's Old Boys, moved from Argentina when he was only 13, given growth hormonal treatment.
That's actually why he was signed, because he was a young boy and they're old boys.
There we are.
They said, look, we like you, you're a good player, but we can't have you at the club. Too young.
Do you play for Newell's Old Boys Youth System? It doesn't exist.
They don't have one, they won't
exactly.
Have it.
But even with the growth hormone stuff, you know, only got to 5'7". You look at Ronaldo, he's a much bigger guy. Different.
But Messi is another of many of the reasons that Messi is fascinating is because he actually has become the new Maradona.
Yeah.
And there were... I don't know if you guys remember, but the amount of false dawns that media were projecting, particularly in the South America, by the way, on the new Maradona. There's an actual Wikipedia article about it. Mm. You know, I remember players like D'Alessandro, Saviola, Aguero even was touted as well.
D'Alessandro, I mean, that's insane.
Yeah.
Aymar, Pablo Aymar.
And Riquelme, of course.
But
Messi actually is the new Maradona. You have to argue that.
Well, people wouldn't, Argentina would say he isn't because he's not won a World Cup.
But I'm not Argentinian, so I don't care about it.
It's important to say. Yeah. Fabio Capello said of Messi when coming up against him in a pre-season tournament, and this was when Messi was very young, "In my entire life, I have never seen a player of such quality and personality at such a young age, particularly wearing the heavy shirt of one of the world's greatest clubs."
Yeah.
And around that time, Inter came in offering to reach his buyout clause of 150 million euros and massively increase his wages, but Messi didn't go anywhere. And again, a sign of who Messi was and the I suppose, what would you say, temperament or wisdom or whatever. He wanted to stay at Barcelona, just didn't suddenly run after an enormous pay packet.
I think it's fascinating how some players want to be able to prove themselves at a number of different clubs in a number of different countries, and that's really important to them. Yeah. You know, some people want to do it all and break records for one solitary club, and that's yet another way they're different.
That consistency, absolutely right. And again, that's why this is such a rich and interesting story and rivalry, isn't it? And the way Messi just sort of, he had a season where it was like, wow, this guy's going to be something phenomenal, and then from then on, he just was phenomenal. That goal he scored against Getafe, where he takes it around the entire team. He was 19 years old when he scored that goal.
His hair was so long.
This is the thing. Ronaldo looks like, as you say, Jim, a statue. Whereas Messi, he looks like he was, like a sort of a former bassist of a mini grunge band.
Remember we used to say at the time when he and Zlatan were at Barcelona together, they looked like they had a Silverchair covers band at school. I don't know if Zlatan would like that so
My
much.
My goodness. Well, Luke, you've already suggested that you think Messi is probably the better player. Even Big Sepp Blatter, Who's popped up?
How's he got in here? We gave him his one.
We can kick him out again.
Actually, that counts as him doing football related activities. Yeah. He's banned, so you can't actually mention it.
No, the FBI.
No, but if I do this, then he gets a couple more years.
He's in breach of his ban.
Yeah, so yeah. I should say it.
Important public service. Please continue.
Thank you. Sepp Blatter waded in saying they don't have the same attitude, and that gives life to football. Again, just talking nonsense. One has more expenses for the hairdresser than the other, but that doesn't matter. I can't say who is the best. I like both of them, but I prefer Messi. The demise of Sepp Blatter.
He's probably annoyed that Ronaldo makes more money for himself than Messi does.
Yeah.
The image rights are just so catastrophically huge.
Yeah. Indeed. Jim, you mentioned earlier that the rivalry between these two was just ramped up so much when Ronaldo joined Real Madrid for a world record transfer fee. And we're going to talk a little bit about that after.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Do this.
If Alex Ferguson is being bullied by a player and his agent or whatever, how you want to call it, how wrong is the
tinsel?
Sacked in the morning? Don't think so.
No.
Welcome back, everybody. We are in the midst of our number one of the 12 rambles of Christmas. Lionel Messi versus Cristiano Ronaldo. Oh, what a match-up, chaps.
What a treat.
Indeed, indeed. Now, before we go any further, we have been asking you to email in what your favourite or your defining or something that's tickled your fancy over the last 10 years since we've been recording. You've inundated us with emails. Thank you very much for that. Luke, I believe we have a winner.
It's time to announce our winner.
Oh, Toshiba, Toshiba, Toshiba.
Come on down, Matt Baker.
Oh, from Doctor Who or the one show?
Different
Who
one.
Knows?
His suggestion, Pete, you'll be delighted. Well, first of all, Matt wins a 55-inch 4K HD TV from Toshiba. We'll email you with details about that, Matt. Whoa. And he also wins a chance to have this idea recorded at some point in the new year with details to follow. Mm. His winning suggestion is,
right,
Pete, you're going to love it, the Mike Ashley era at Newcastle
yeah!
United.
we're all going to love that.
Matt, it's got it all. It's got it all. And by all, I mean Kevin Keegan.
Immediately.
Keggy's in there.
You start with Keegan.
I'm not going to turn to sponsor by saying what I really feel right now.
Alan Shearer's managerial efforts.
Oh, Alan Shearer and also Ian Dowie's. Let's not forget.
That's true.
Let's not forget he was in the dugout as well. Southampton favourite.
When your stadium was an email address.
So thank you very much to you, Matt.
And
also, thank you very much to everyone who got in touch. We had so many emails to get through.
So many John Terry's. That was never going to win, guys. Come on now.
It was nice to be reminded of it, 10 times a minute.
But we think that Mike Ashley's Newcastle United is a worthy winner. So stand by your email, Matt. We'll get in touch with you about that. And look out for us recording this special that we've got ourselves in for here at some point in January.
Marvellous stuff. Marvellous stuff. Luke, you look like you've got something else to say.
Yeah, Toshiba, of course, offers you the chance to watch every football match in 4K picture clarity. Thanks to the TV's pinpoint sharp resolution, no detail, flick or kick of the ball will ever be missed. Enjoy 24/7 access to a whole world of online content, including catch-up TV and on-demand services such as Netflix. With this TV, you can also access last week's shows on demand with Freeview Play. For an authentic audio experience, for the last time, it also comes with a subwoofer. To project that bass sound. Don't just hear, but feel the roar of the crowd and or Pete Donaldson. That's it. I can't put out a call to action anymore because we've already announced the winner. But thanks for everyone for getting in touch.
Thank you.
And that's that.
We had so many emails to pile through. Thank you so much for everyone who got involved because it has been a struggle finding any emails that weren't about
it has.
The 12 Rams of Christmas, to be honest.
Yeah, but we do appreciate that very much so. Very much so. Back to Messi versus Ronaldo. Ronaldo, when he turned up at Real Madrid, it was like he was going to knock Messi off his perch.
Yeah, it was very much like that. Do you remember the unveiling? What a huge deal it was.
It was the biggest transfer in world football.
Oh, quite. But I mean, Real Madrid always did that. But
I was about to say, they're normally quite understated. Yeah.
But it did feel like a huge thing.
I think that both of them were already operating in on a different level. But when he moved to Madrid, they were in the same league at their rival club, such bitter rivalry. This was when they both were in a different stratosphere.
Do you think that the fact that Messi was playing for Barcelona in Spain affected Ronaldo's decision to go to Real Madrid in any way?
Possibly, although he always wanted to go to Real Madrid, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, it's a kind of...
You can backfill that narrative, though, as much as you
want. Well, but even Ferguson said that, you know, Ferguson would say, give us one more year or something like that. Ferguson was well aware that Real Madrid were after him.
For an Iberian, it's a...
Of course it's a big deal. I just wonder if it was a factor at all.
I think so. Because I think Messi versus Ronaldo was a thing, wasn't it? Before people were always saying, are these the two best players in the world? And what would happen if they came in direct competition?
At that point, it was Ronaldo, Messi and Rooney.
Yeah, well, here it was.
No, but people were talking about Wayne Rooney in that same bracket.
Some people in this country, but some people were hoping that Rooney could
could hang on to their coattails, but obviously not the case.
There used to be a website, Messi versus Ronaldo versus Rooney.com.
But you took it down.
I took it down.
Yeah. In about the year 2008.
Luke versus Pete.
Went the way of drawyourdad.com.
Oh, Messi and Ronaldo, the two of them, were almost on personal missions to become the greatest of all time, but went about it in very different ways. Ronaldo, it was very purposeful that he wanted to be the best of all time, whereas Messi, it was a byproduct of what he was doing.
I think that's a good point. I think Messi will obviously happily accept and have ambitions to be the world's best player and the best player of all time, but as you say, it's a byproduct. Mm. Ronaldo, it's massively about that first and foremost.
Yeah.
I think the thing for Messi, though, is there is no escaping the fact that he's in this thing. It's such a cultural phenomenon. And also the Ballon d'Or situation as well, where Ronaldo, it really means something to him.
Yeah.
That has to project an element of meaning onto Messi himself that he can't escape.
Of course, yeah. When Ronaldo went to Spain, I mean, the press ramped it up even more, of course. There was a number of meetings in Clásicos and so on and so forth. But to take some records, Messi is the record goal scorer in the history of La Liga. Now, he's played there a few more years than Ronaldo, who's second, of course.
Yeah.
Ronaldo will always argue, that we mentioned before, that he tore it up in England as well as Spain, so he's done it in other places, which is what Maradona fans say in the Maradona-Pele debate. And this is the greatest one of those debates since those two. But as somebody said earlier, they're plying their trade at the same time. So there are direct comparisons that people will make, of course. At the time of recording, Ronaldo has the most hat-tricks in La Liga history with 32. Messi is second on 28. The most goals scored in a single La Liga season was by Messi in 2011-12 when he got 50. That was the year when Messi got 73 in all competitions, by the way. Ronaldo, of course, is second. 2014-15 season, he got 48 and 61 in all competitions. Perhaps the most impressive thing is that Messi is Barcelona's greatest goalscorer of all time. Ronaldo is Real Madrid's greatest goalscorer of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there at the pinnacle.
Yeah.
Really hairy men fighting over a comb, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fighting over the shampoo.
Shaver? Yeah, I don't know, really.
I don't think that Ronaldo is very likely at all to overhaul Messi in the terms of La Liga all-time scorers.
Well, especially his
old he's got about two this season, hasn't he? I mean, a point of recording, two or three. But what I would say is that we are experiencing the decline of Ronaldo and possibly Messi's still got a little bit in the time.
That said, Ronaldo scored in every game in the group stages of the Champions League, which has not been done before. So he's still knocking down those records.
Specifically, I'm talking about La Liga all-time top scorers, and Messi's, I think, about 120 goals ahead and is 2 years younger.
Yeah, those extra couple of years are going to be a killer for Ronaldo. No, I bet that'll keep him going.
Messi's played in La Liga longer than Ronaldo. True. It all makes sense. Ronaldo is the top scorer in the Champions League's history, 114. Messi's second with 97. Slightly better goal average, though, which will irk Ronaldo. Of course, at the time of recording, both have won four Champions Leagues each.
Yeah,
you know, they both individually dominated that tournament with individual records and obviously
five Ballon d'Ors each as well.
Five Ballon d'Ors each. Messi, huge part of Pep Guardiola's Barcelona, and Ronaldo under Zidane, of course, won back-to-back Champions League titles. They both have four European golden shoes each. There's a page on UEFA's official website titled "Records that Ronaldo and Messi have not broken in brackets yet." The official website of UEFA.
If you are listening to this on Christmas Day, I mean, feel free to take this into the dinner situation with your dad, battling against your dad for the roast potatoes.
It's just incredible.
I'll do it. You do it. Let's see who can get really ill.
No one will take me on in roast potatoes. I'm a prolific roast potato eater.
But we got so used to them breaking records that we became desensitised to it. It's like, oh yeah, need first player to score three overhead kicks in a minute or something.
Why that's important, because we were used, before these two came along, to hearing about players who scored ridiculous amounts of goals in the era where defending wasn't really prided on. You know, like Dixie Dean, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
These are Dixie Dean type levels of goal scoring consistently in the modern era.
It's sensational.
Where the whole thing's been standardised, professionalised and everything. And also records are much easier to keep a hold of.
Romario lying, isn't it?
Exactly. They've completely taken ownership again of that.
But it's in the league, it's in Europe and it's at an international level as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both top scorers for their countries as well.
And
mentioning that, you know, we used to do profiles and Hall of Fame and all that, you would read out the goal scoring exploits of certain individual players from yesteryear, whether they played, you know, in some faraway league or right here in England. And you go, oh my goodness, you know, his average was 1 in 1, or one season he scored more goals than appearances and this kind of thing.
these two are scoring fantasy football type stuff.
It used to be 1 and 2.
Yeah.
The standard, when I first started watching football, and I can really remember it, from a striker would be 1 and 2.
Well, when that season, when was it? Mario Gomez, I think, scored 40 goals in all competitions or something, or close to it. Mm. People were a bit like, yeah, that's pretty good. No, that is
phenomenal.
Amazingly. Yeah. That's a huge achievement. But because of Messi and Ronaldo, it's kind of, yeah, that's not bad. Luis Suarez's goal-scoring record is phenomenal. Mm. But because of Messi and Ronaldo, it overshadows so many achievements that so many players...
That's why Neymar moved, you know what I mean?
Neymar's Neymar's really the only person looking like he could maybe pick up that mantle when two go.
Well, in 2007, Kaká won the award, the Ballon d'Or award, of course. Ronaldo and Messi both in second and third, quite brilliantly. Since then, it's all been about them.
Yeah.
They've won it 5 times each.
And rightly so.
Well, you get the impression that Messi, as you say, is not that bothered. Whereas Cristiano Ronaldo, his own museum in Madeira, they're on show there if you fancy seeing them.
It's not that they've won those, and obviously that is amazing. It's that you can't really make a decent argument about why they shouldn't have won them.
Indeed, yeah.
Why they shouldn't have shared the last 10.
Messi's suits are always a bit too shiny.
He loves almost like a purple velvet number. Mm, yeah. But, you know, the only thing I could come up with for an argument as to who could have won it instead of those two was Wesley Sneijder in 2010 when Inter won the treble.
Diego Melito would have been up there.
Well, you know, I mean, one of those types of players who had delivered so much for their team.
Yeah.
And I know I'm a bit of a track record in saying the team is the most important thing, but even I acknowledge that I'm being a bit churlish there, really, because you can't make a sustained, decent argument for why either of those shouldn't have won it, because they've elevated the entire game.
Mm-hmm. But when you talk about great players, you know, and you think, you know, Griezmann at Atletico Madrid is absolutely brilliant. You put his stats up against theirs, just completely overshadowed. Yeah. But that's not, you know, Griezmann's fault. He's got a good record. He's a great player.
It's not normal. There will be a generation of kids growing up now not understanding that this might never happen again.
Yeah. We might never see the likes of these two again.
Because when you were a top athlete, you're playing whatever sport it is, you're playing at the very top of your game. A lot of it, it's quite an unpalatable thing to accept, I think, but a lot of it comes down to the era you're in. People who know loads more than us about tennis will say, Andy Murray would have won 10 Grand Slams, but unfortunately, he's come along with Djokovic, Nadal and Federer. Some of these players, Griezmann, Neymar, Suarez, these other types of players, history will be a lot kinder to them than their current reputation suggests because of this Ronaldo-Messi thing. They're casting such a huge shadow over everyone.
But this Ronaldo-Messi thing, you know, using the tennis example, it's like Borg and McEnroe.
Yeah.
But the thing is with that is that they won a lot and then other people came along, the likes of Federer and Nadal, and they were like, wow, they took it to another level. You just don't see how it would be possible for somebody to come along and take it to another level. I mean, 73 goals. You know, in all competitions. Or was it
Didn't he score 100 goals in a calendar year or something like that?
No, he was not. 91, calendar year, Messi. Yeah. I mean, it's just
phenomenal.
It beggars belief. And the thing is, they're not your archetypal number nine, it's on the shoulder of the last man, getting a load of tap-ins.
Well, Ronaldo has developed his game into being more of a forward now.
He is, but it's still not what it
was. That's not what they're known for, though.
Yeah, so it's not like he's just getting in. They are creating their own goals. They're smashing them in from 25 yards and scoring spectacular goals, beating three men.
Well, with Messi, it's the way he beats three men, though.
Yeah.
It's like he seems to... It's like he operates in micro-dimensions that only he can see. The way he will wriggle round players and then just side-foot the ball in from the edge of the box into the corner like that's nothing, that's a tap-in. We've seen him score that specific goal so many times.
Yeah.
It's nothing I've ever seen.
Marcus's overall point is a really important one. If someone said to me, most prolific sort of goal scorers, you'd probably think of someone like Gerd Müller, 6-yard box player, amazing finisher, the type of sort of Ian Rush-type finisher where the ball would just gravitate.
Even Alan Shearer.
Yeah, these players aren't like that.
No.
Shearer's maybe a bit different because he was more of a powerful forward. He would score different types of goals.
Sure.
But Müller was a real poacher. His record is incredible. He scored over 400 goals for Bayern Munich or something.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the all-round player these two players are.
But do you not think Messi and Ronaldo have kind of heralded the death of the striker, the death of this the biggest man in the club is the number nine?
It certainly coincided with the death of the out-and-out striker. Yeah. I don't know if they are to blame for it, but it's definitely coincided with it.
It really has to use the word blame.
Well, you know what I mean?
Stop ruining football, you two.
I would suggest...
Give Yaya Sanogo a chance.
I would probably suggest that's more coaching style and more sort of how tactics have evolved than them.
That may well come back, because we know how football moves in cycles like that. Yeah. But an interesting thing about both as well is how deadly they are from set pieces. We all remember that goal from Ronaldo against Portsmouth. The next day, everyone was trying to kick it on the valve and trying to learn how to do that. Yeah. Messi's kick incredible with free kicks.
That's right. Good to get that one in there, Jim, as well. And I think it's interesting because I think that actually when it comes down to it, you know, if indeed one does need to answer the question, if it's even a worthwhile question, who is better? I think most people now would say Messi. But oddly, if you were playing like top trumps, Ronaldo's stats probably be, you know, he's better header of the ball. He's probably better striker of the ball. Probably a little bit more sort of flashy and skillful. Do you know what I mean?
Stronger.
Stronger, certainly. But yet, for some reason, Jim, Lionel Messi, people would still probably go for him more than Ronaldo.
I think it's the character thing again, though, isn't it? It's because, Messi to do things with more humility. But if you, again, you know, Ronaldo retaining the Champions League, winning, you know, catching up with Messi on Ballon d'Ors, all those things, winning the Euros, you know, that's a huge thing. Messi's been a losing finalist.
Well, he's got to thank Adair for
that. Three international tournaments he's been a losing finalist in, which must be a nightmare for Messi. Yeah.
I think a lot of this comes down to, we can't forget that for a period of his career, everyone knew the ability Ronaldo had. And you're right with the top trumps point. I think it's a good point. But he would make the wrong decision more than Messi. Mm-hmm. Messi's, and that comes back to what we were talking about earlier, about Messi will take being the best player in the world as a byproduct of the team. Mm-hmm. Ronaldo just wants to be the best player in the world.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting he doesn't respect his teammates win trophies. But that's why Messi automatically seems to, and there have been periods of time when he's, you know, fallen out with the odd coach and been maybe a bit too powerful at Barcelona for his own good, but more often than not, he'll make the right decision for the good of the team, and that probably makes him a more effective player when all said and done than Ronaldo, despite Ronaldo's obvious physical attributes.
I think that's definitely true, because there was a period when Ronaldo was accused of maybe not scoring in as many big games as he might, but again, massively improved.
He rectified that, definitely.
And I think that's it. Ronaldo's career, it's always been about improving. Whereas Messi, it's almost been about just nurturing and guiding that brilliance, which is there.
I think if I can sum up, if you allow me to be so bold, I think they're both going to leave a huge hole when they both retire. We're going to see Ronaldo possibly go on for a very long time, despite being a couple of years older than Messi. But when they both retire, they're going to leave a huge hole. But I think we have to acknowledge, even while we're in the middle of it, this is something that's normally reserved for sort of picking over the bones of it in years to come. But even while we're in the middle of it, we have to acknowledge that these are the types of players that only come along once in 5, 6, 7, 8 generations. And we should be very grateful they've both come along in ours.
Mm. It's been a privilege to watch their careers.
It has.
Indeed so. There it is, ladies and gentlemen, the number one defining topic of our time.
I'm pleased with it. I'm pleased with number one.
12 Realms of Christmas.
There it is.
Romeo done.
Thank you very much for listening to the 12 Rambles of Christmas. And of course, Merry Christmas to you, good listeners. It's been an absolute flipping pleasure.
Yes, and we'll hope to see you again and speak to you again a lot more in 2018.
Absolutely right. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye and Merry Christmas.
Luke, do the same.
Goodbye and Merry Christmas.
Petey.
Goodbye and Merry Christmas, Marcus.
Goodbye and Merry Christmas from me as well.
It's Christmas!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.